It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
That was unfortunate. We had a little skipping of the music right there. All right. We're back. We'll try this again.
Oopsie.
You're listening or watching the Davin's Den. Adam's going to be listening real quick in a few minutes to see if we're having some audio issues. I don't know. We're trying to do some new technology here. New for us. And that, give us another 10 years and we'll figure it out. That's all I could tell you. That's all I could fucking tell you. Because you know what I always say? You know, how can I make this more challenging for myself? How can I make this more stressful? And we have done that. All right, let's do some School of Fools.
Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
All right, so a Washington State high school wrestling coach is under fire for mocking the Minneapolis death of George Floyd on Twitter, according to a report. Bethel High School first-year coach Dave Hollenbach posted a photo of himself on the floor smiling with a knee to the back of his neck, similar to images caught on viral video of Floyd pinned down by white Minneapolis cops on Monday before he died. Not dead yet. I'm doing this for our police officers. It's spelled A-R-E, dumbass. That's why you're the wrestling coach and not a teacher. This for our police officers in the media is a race baiting machine, and I'm tired of it, Hollenbach wrote in a typo-laden post. Said reporter KIRO-TV. I'm going to speak out every time. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, but I love all people. Wake up, America! In a second post, Hollenbach writes, this is for all the race baiters and people that don't what they're talking about when they're saying this could kill you. The original post appeared to have been deleted. In a statement to NBC affiliate King TV, Bethel School District spokesman Doug Boyle said it's investigating the incident. We are investigating the post. Dave Hollenbach is not a teacher. This was his first year as a wrestling coach at Bethel High School. As wrestling season is over, he is not working for us now. The image of Floyd, who was black, pinned to the ground by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin while pleading for air, has sparked a national outrage, as we've been talking about. All right. Listen, I think his post was race baiting and inflammatory.
Yeah, for the simple reason he's going, well, this is a race, you know, a race baiting thing. I think with a police officer on a gentleman's neck on the ground, there's really no debate on what's going on. I mean, if it was the Eric Garner thing, the whole debate could be, was, you know, the police department approved that hold? He was resisting arrest. There's none of it here. There's none of it here. It's open and shut. So for the simple reason you're saying it's race baiting, it's stupid.
Pip, before I go on, Adam wants to know, is the volume on your computer on?
Who's?
You're the only one that goes by Pip, dear.
Oh, I'm having audio problems, so sometimes I'm not hearing the first word.
Okay.
Yeah, the audio on my computer is on.
Okay, and same with Joe. All right, so I think what Adam is getting at,
my computer.
Joe's audio is off, Adam, and Pip's is on. So that might be the feedback that we're hearing, which is what I kind of said when we started. So, dear, can you turn down the volume all the way on your computer?
Oh, that was the problem. I couldn't hear it on my phone.
You can't. No, but you can't hear the conversation on the phone.
Right. And I don't know why that is. That never happened before.
Perhaps you can borrow your husband's phone for the duration of this show, and we can do it that way, and I'll call you back.
All right, let me just try something. We'll carry on for a minute.
You know what's good? We get all this newfangled technology, and Pippa is fucking around with her old technology.
No, this isn't old.
That's a fucking cell phone, stupid. It's old enough. Relax. You just fucking do what you got to do there. Me and Joe will carry on. You let us know when you can join us, all right?
Okay.
All right. I got to tell you, Joe, I think this type of post hurts the police. I don't think it helps them.
What, that post?
This guy, this wrestling coach's post. Who are you? You're not sticking up for police because, like, as you said, it's open and shut. This is, you know, the vast majority of police are going, no, that was wrong. This,
I don't think it's going to hurt the police as much as it's going to make this guy look like an idiot.
Well, he already looks like an idiot. There's no getting around that.
No, you can't say it's race baiting when it's not race baiting. I mean, you have this guy being held, you're dying with three other cops. So for him to say race baiting, I mean, the prudent person will look at him and go, "That's stupid. How could it be race baiting?" Right?
All right, I'll play your favorite role. I'll play devil's advocate and say, "Well, maybe he's talking about Black Lives Matter, and maybe he's trying to say an all lives matter type of thing." I mean, I don't believe that, but maybe
we could have the argument if he wasn't demonstrating the move in the story.
It's so interesting, though.
Frustrating that move, it correlates to the situation.
His whole point seems to be like, this could not have killed George Floyd. Then how does he think George Floyd died? He just fell asleep on the street and didn't wake up?
What they're saying is that I think he had a heart attack.
Well, they actually said that was I know what you're talking about. Talking about the coroner's report, which originally listed these underlying conditions, but then today they came out and said, but, you know, the pressure on the neck is what killed him. But I don't think this wrestling coach was doing that.
But even let's say if it was a heart attack, you know, he was under a little stress at the moment.
Yeah, he had a knee on his neck and knees in his back for his lungs. There was some shit going on.
He wasn't in his easy chair in his den.
No.
You know, so it's the whole thing there. How can it be race baiting? I don't see how it could be race baiting.
There are
other instances, and God knows we've argued to the hills on other situations like that, going back and forth. But this case is so obvious that, you know, and like I said, 99.9% of the people that look at this go, this is wrong. This has got to stop. Here's your 1% right there.
He's the 1%?
That's the 1% that looks at that and goes, that's race baiting. How could that be race? Like, if we had him on right now, I want a couple of bullet points on how you feel that's race baiting. You know, look at that. You know,
I would not be interested in what he has to say. I've had I don't enjoy talking with dumbasses, and this guy's a dumbass. I mean, let's also say.
Well, you know what, man? That's a wrestling move, you know, and it happens in wrestling, right? Okay, let's say that's the case. For 9 minutes?
No, yeah, I know. Wrestling is one, two, three.
For 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So even if that's a wrestling move. Okay, that move is 3 seconds to end a bout. This guy was held down for 9 minutes. There's a difference.
I got to tell you, this guy's 1 year in. He seems imminently expendable. I would fire his ass yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you want to know something? It's not where you could say, well, you know, it's a move, and he was just demonstrating the move, and, you know, he was saying, well, this move could kill, and blah, blah. He just doing the move. He's like, how could this kill? It's race baiting. He buried, not only is he doing that move, he buried his foot in so much cow shit, it's going to take him years to pull it out. His career is done.
It's a lot of cow shit there. All right, so we agree on that one. Let's move on while Pip.
It feels boring.
Nah, it's good. I like it. Pip is dealing with her rotary phone. She is efforting to join us soon. She has
I feel like a monkey with this thing. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with it.
Dear.
Don't make it easy. Don't make it easy.
Sorry, Joe. I'm going to have to take it. But if Joe insists that I don't, I'll move on. But it was very easy. All right. We'll let Grimace move. We'll let Grimace do her thing, and you and I will continue, Joe. All right. So a protester who hung an effigy of Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear from a tree during a gun rally. Shouldn't they have shot him if it's a gun rally? Why bring in news? That turned into a demonstration against the coronavirus restrictions has been fired from his job, according to reports. The Neil Huffman Auto Group on Tuesday said it canned the unidentified employee following an internal review, adding that it does not condone threats of violence in any form. The Louisville Courier-Journal identified the staffer as Terry Bush, the president of right-wing Kentucky Three Percenters, one of the groups present at Sunday's protest. He was fired because this governor is more important than the regular Joe out in this state trying to provide food on their tables, his wife Patsy Bush told the newspaper. The effigy was hoisted from a tree during a Second Amendment rally at the state capitol in Frankfort, where some of the demonstrators raged against measures implemented by Beshear's administration in an effort to curb the spread of the virus. A contingent of the group walked down to the governor's mansion taunting, "Come out, Andy, and resign, Andy." The crowd then returned to the Capitol, where a likeness of Beshear was hung. All right, now I'm hearing echo, so Pip, knock it off.
Sorry.
Stupid.
There you go.
Joe's happy it's not him being yelled at. The crowd then returned to the Capitol, where a likeness of Beshear was hung from a tree while God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood played over a speaker. Because when I hear God Bless the USA by Greenwood, I think of a hanging effigy. That's what I think of the best of America. Dumb motherfucker you. A sign on the effigy.
I'm proud to be an American where I know I'm free. I'm proud to be an American. Get me a rope and a tree.
Oh, my God. I double dare you to sing that in a black neighborhood.
With the car running.
We seem to be out of gas.
And also, I also know not to take a bow and arrow out during a riot.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Fucking Robin Hood comes out. They grab the bow. They beat the shit out of him. Flip over his car. Get him on a muse.
You know what, though? Listen, I feel if you're that stupid, you kind of deserve an ass beating.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to come out with a bow and arrow. Really? What are you going after, Friar Tuck, stupid?
I believe you'd be going after the sheriff of Nottingham Forest, Joe. But I get your point.
Even the coyote would look at that and go, why?
It's not even made by Acme. What shit is this?
Yeah.
So a sign on the effigy said, "Sic semper tyrannis," which translates to "thus always to tyrants," a phrase famously used by John Wilkes Booth after shooting President Abraham Lincoln. Because when I'm going to go for a quote, I'm going Booth. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Both Republican and Democrat leaders in the state condemned the hanging of the effigy. Good. Beshear on Wednesday said about the firing, "Different decisions have consequences, and I would hope that we would all make better decisions. But you don't simply, in the moment, make a dummy with somebody's face on it and hang it up," the Democratic governor said. "I think what we saw was an act intended to create fear and terror." Yeah. I got to tell you, I have no problem with the Huffman Auto Group firing this dumb motherfucker.
That could be a free speech issue. Look, I'm not agreeing with him. I mean, the guy's as dumb as sin. But I think that could be a free...
But Joe, we've talked about this before. Free speech means the government can't do anything against you. It doesn't mean your boss can't.
But the thing about it is, it wasn't done as part of... And I'm going by the lawyer. You know, it wasn't done on company property. It wasn't done... He wasn't demonstrating the auto group.
Well, listen, we condemned Kathy Griffin when she hung up a mutilated head of President Trump and she lost a shitload of work. She was using her free speech and the people who had her scheduled to appear said, no, we don't want that.
But that was Kathy Griffin representing herself. This gentleman was not representing the auto group.
Right, but I'm guessing this guy was some type of sales guy or something from what the business sounds like. You want that fucking parading around on your showroom? I don't want that. I don't need that. Hyundai's kicking my ass.
I don't want it either.
Okay.
I wouldn't want it either. But as a point of law, would that stand up in a court?
I think it would.
Sure.
I mean,
why isn't the boss allowed to say, "I don't want you representing my company"?
Well, that sounds good, Pep. You sound nice.
But for the reason that it wasn't done while he was representing the company.
Yeah, but we've seen teachers get fired for, like, posing with a drink in their hand.
True, but there could be, you know, but also they could bring that, you know, bring that up that they weren't doing it on company time.
The teacher was on her own time.
If I was running the place, no, I don't want this guy representing my place. It could hurt business.
Yes.
But from a freedom of speech angle, it could be debated if he decided to. It would be interesting to see if it was pursued in a court of law, how the court on a legal term, not of a moral term or a business presentation.
We've seen this before. We saw this in 2017 when neo-Nazis who were marching in Charlottesville got fired. This is nothing new. Those businesses decided, you know, Jews will not replace us, but we're going to replace your ass. Bye-bye.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, and like I said, I'm not saying that it was wrong to do that. Then. I'm not saying it's wrong to do this in this situation. I'm just wondering how it would hold up.
Well, I have not heard any reports of neo-Nazis getting their jobs back, so I'm guessing it would. I do remember neo-Nazis crying that they got fired, and that was a good day.
Yeah,
I do remember that too.
Yeah, but I'm curious if any of them tried to fight it. Not, and like I said,
no, Joe. No, they were busy getting their little tiki torches and cargo shorts. They had no time.
But like I said, I wonder if it was a court of law. And if I let him go, and I would say, look, it doesn't look good as a presentation of my business, and I feel he's a detriment to my thing. And maybe they could turn around and go, but it wasn't done as part of your business. It wasn't done in your.
So then you fire him for something else. Fire him for something else. I don't have to keep you. Why do I have to fucking keep you employed?
But. Right, but still, then make it a merit, and if you want to...
Oh, here's the merit. I'm the boss. You suck. Bye-bye. I don't need a reason.
Was the merit that my sales were low? Was the merit that I wasn't a manager?
I'll make something up, Joe. It's not that hard. We believe that that you farted by the water machine, and it made our secretary gag. She feels like she was attacked by you. Bye-bye. I can come up with all sorts of reasons.
You want to know something? If you went into court with that, yeah, dismissed. All right. Yeah, the poor thing had to smell that fart. She won't go to that court of the fucking building anymore. We can't have that shit in that joint. You got a point. But like I said, if you did it on that, yeah. As an issue that you did this, and from a freedom of speech point, if you wanted to fight it, it could be interesting to see the way it would go through the legal system.
Okay, well, I don't think it would get very far. Pip, are you under control now?
Slightly. I'm still going to have a little feedback, sorry. As far as this conversation we're having, I understand that I don't know what their state laws is, but at an at-will employment state, you can get fired for any number of things that are completely unfair.
Yeah. I think hanging an effigy of the governor is a good start. How about people stop doing dumb shit? How about I don't have to employ stupid people?
If people stop doing dumb shit, this show would be 5 minutes long.
That's true.
If people stop hiring dumb people, well, the employment rate would be higher than it is now.
Yeah.
Thank God I only hire the best. You know, listen, I hire the best of the best. It was hard getting these two. So where are we with your phone? You got to get a new phone? Is that where we are?
I have no idea what's going on with this. I'd be really interested to see when you call me back if I get sound again in the hearing.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, you're really coming hot through the volume.
Yeah, I know. It's a problem. How about this?
I can hear you. Talk again.
You can hear me okay like this?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. I'll try this.
Yeah.
You could probably turn it down a little bit more. Talk again.
Talk again. Woof, 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 woof.
Yeah, that's fine. All right.
Hey, can I ask you a question, Pip?
Yeah.
Is that a tie-dye light switch?
No, it's actually, it's small semi-precious gemstones that have been put on the light switch, and it vaguely looks like a bug, but it's, I don't know what the pattern is supposed to be. Maybe it's a bug, but it's got, like, you know, different stones on it.
All you need.
All right, so this is
in the doorway, and it would look like the hippie pad on Dragnet.
All right.
Who's paying it doesn't?
All right, so this is the feedback from Adam. Sometimes there's an echo with Joe, then it stops. I can't figure it out. Pip echoes a bit, and then it stops. It's not that bad now, but it is strange. The gemstones are from One Eye Willie, Goonies. All right, thank you, Adam.
So, Adam, how did you know where I got them?
So here's what I think we need to do. I think at some point during this week, the three of us need to get online and try this again and have some folks listen, and we need to work this out. And Pip, I think a lot of this will be resolved if your phone works properly.
Yeah, that would be terrific. I have no idea what happened between the time I was talking to my neighbor before the show and now.
So I think sometime between now and Sunday, you need to get your phone issue resolved, and then we need the three of us to do a dry run so that we're good for next Tuesday. I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Adam, by the way. And thank you, Adam. Thank you for the Goonies reference. We
thank you, sir. Yeah, that too. That counts.
All right. Adam's the best. All right, here's another one. Normally we don't speak. Oh, okay. So I should fucking preface it, stupid. So there. Hold on. One-Eyed Willie's chiming in. Oh, he says word. Me and Adam had this whole conversation yesterday because, you know, we were going to do the thing for with Sean King and everything. And Adam likes to use the words like word and Coolio. And I'm like, dude, you can't do that if we're doing like a show for mostly black people. He said, no, I can. I was really into that music in the 90s. I'm like, okay, take your board shorts, but no. We had that whole conversation. That's Adam's lingo. As I'm stuck in the 80s hair bands, Adam is stuck with, like, 90s rap artists.
I have a friend that keeps saying peeps, and I'm like, really, you have to stop that.
That person just likes Easter candy.
I guess.
All right. So there was this office building that was reportedly having issues of people using the gym that shouldn't be using the gym. So this guy Tom Austin confronts him, and confronts these young black men, and they went with an Instagram video and they recorded him. And under the video, it said this: "Normally, we don't speak out about encounters of racial profiling and age discrimination that we face day to day in our lives as young black entrepreneurs. Although today, May 26th." 2020 p.m. 7:15, we encountered a situation where a man entered the facility, a shared private gym that we utilize, and tags them, office located in Uptown, Minnesota. Granted, we've been in this office space and have rented and grown our business for the past year and a half here. As we were working out, this man approached and immediately asked us who we were and if we belong in this building. Granted, in order to enter the building, you need a key card to enter every part of the building, which each of our team members individually have. We all pay rent here, and this man demanded that we show him our key card or he will call the cops on us. We are sick and tired of tolerating this type of behavior on a day-to-day basis, and we feel how to bring light into the situation." Okay, so this white businessman approached these black entrepreneurs, and he was the CEO of a company called F2. He's a venture capitalist and managing partner of F2 Intelligence Group, and he threatened to call 911 on the confrontation. "I'm a tenant in the building. Are you?" he tells the men in the video. Even after the men told him they were tenants at the Mosaic East building, he called the property manager. Top figure, social media and branding agency, posted the footage on Instagram, said it displayed racial profiling in action as the men were working out in the building's gym. Their company is a member of the WeWork co-working space in the building, which is co-owned by the Ackerberg Group. Stuart Ackerberg, CEO of Ackerberg Group, said he was already heartbroken by the video of George Floyd's death while in police custody when he saw the clip of the confrontation in his own building. "My heart hurts," he told the Star Tribune. "This is not how we do business. I'm alarmed by what I saw." He said the WeWork members had used their key fobs to enter the gym on Tuesday night. "It appears they had every night to be there and to use the amenity," he said, adding that he spoke to Austin on Wednesday and expressed his alarm. "I shared with him that I did not think it was handled well, and there are other ways to go about this," he told the paper. "It's unfortunate. Our goal is to create a safe and inviting experience for everybody." In the email to the Post on Wednesday, Austin said, "I fucked up. Should have handled it differently. Building management had been complaining that tenants were allowing their friends to trespass and use a private gym, and that was authorized only for building tenants. Austin accused the men of acting in a very threatening manner, so he threatened to call security. I would have done this regardless of race. In fact, I told them I'd have done the same thing if they were white or even a bunch of girls who were trespassing. On Thursday, he reiterated his mea culpa. Not my job to say anything or question potential trespassers. I was in a bad mood before I even got to the gym and handled the situation poorly. Was oblivious to the perception that my actions could be perceived as racist, he told the Post. When I left the gym at the end of the night, I said, have a great night, hope we're good, and did a fist bump with each of them. The video demonstrates that I was crabby and stupid, but not racism, he added. I've offered to reach out for a public apology for stupid behavior, but not for racism. But nobody's responded, and most of the public seems to care less. Okay, I think what he was doing was unintentionally racist. I think sometimes we as white people say or do things and we don't necessarily think we're being racist or insensitive. And I don't think this guy was intentionally going, well, these guys are black and I'm going to question them. But I think because they were black, he felt the need to question them, if you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, I think he made a mistake by getting into it in the first place. It's not really his problem to do that.
No, like, but I mean, it's not his problem. But you know, in his mind, you could say, "Listen, there was an issue. I was trying to do the right thing for the other people who leased the building and all. You know, it's been brought to my attention. People are complaining. I don't recognize these guys, so I'm going to ask them." I could see that. I mean, yeah, you know, listen.
Sure.
I always take the alternative tack. When I see somebody not wearing a mask and it pisses me off, I don't say shit. But I'm a pussy. But because I'm a pussy, I don't have shit like this happen to me.
I think his intentions were okay because there was a problem of people being unauthorized in to coming in the building. I think he was just having a bad day.
Well, that's what he said. I mean, he may have done this if they were white men. I can't say he wouldn't have. Here's the thing, man. I think the guy fucked up. I don't know the guy, but it sounds like he was sincerely sorry. I don't think he should have lost his lease or his job. The guy was willing to apologize. He did not do something that was so egregious. He was an asshole. He made a bad decision. You know, listen, we all have fucking bad days. We all do stupid things. If we're going to be to the point now where every stupid thing, you have to be punished to the umpth degree, then where the hell are we as a country?
Yeah, and that you know, is like, could then resentment and stuff like that against people. You know, he had a bad day. Don't fire him. You know, he fessed up. He said, "Look, I was wrong. I was having a bad day. I apologize to them, and leave it at that."
I think it's a little unrealistic. I don't want to, social justice warrior is demeaning. But I'll say people who want to do the right thing, I think it's unrealistic for people who genuinely want to do right and not harm to think everyone is woke. You know,
yeah.
This guy's not woke.
Yeah.
This guy's not woke. He fucked up. He got woke. Do we got to take his job and the lease? He wasn't doubling down. Go, no, fuck it. I was in the right. He goes, listen, my bad. I thought I made it all right at the end of it. What do I need to do to make this right for you guys? This guy isn't trying to double down. He's saying I was in the wrong. Do we have to have a pound of flesh every time?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in this case, I mean, he fessed up. I had a bad day. I apologized to the guys. I'm sorry. And let it go at that. I mean, if it happens again, obviously, you know, he's got
it. Can't happen again.
Yeah.
It can't happen again.
I'm sorry?
I just said it can't happen again.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'll give you one. I'm not doing it two. I mean, if there's a history of this, then you gots to go.
Yeah, it's just, you know, sometimes people are heavy-handed with the social justice warrior thing.
Yeah, it's very different this case where the guy, maybe he was having a bad day and he overstepped a little bit and he's like, you know, okay, there's been people in here that shouldn't be in here and I'm going to, you know, be the security guard all of a sudden. But it's very different from that case where the bird watcher, who's African-American, was asking the lady to put her dog on the darn leash, and then she started screaming for the cops, like, "Oh, he's threatening me!" That was done with intent. That was definitely racism. She knew what calling the cops and acting like she was being attacked was going to do. Potentially, I mean, we've seen too many cases of black men losing their lives over infractions. I mean, small infractions, much less if he said, he's attacking me. You know, they could have handled it properly, or they could have jumped on him and killed him. You don't know these days. These guys are probably very sensitive to being called out and have these social warriors come up to them, because they're getting that funny vibe off of people all the time.
Yeah. And I believe in the story, he did explain himself that there were people, he wanted to see it because there were people that were, you know, that were coming in that didn't belong there. I don't know if he should be the justice patrol on that, but it is what it is. Now, this case is of a gentleman that felt bad. He was having a bad day. The story with the woman and the dog, she was just an elitist asshole.
Yeah.
You know, a racist as well, but an elitist asshole.
Well, in her defense, how many black guys are really bird watching? I mean, come on. Let's go.
That's just asinine.
No, listen, I know it's a wrong stereotype, but when I think of bird watchers, I think of old white people. Or prissy rich people. I don't think of your average run of the mill black fella out for a stroll in the park looking for a goldfinch. And I know that might be racist.
So what did you say? What did you say? That your stereotype?
Yes.
Stereotyping bird watchers?
I am.
If you happen to be in the park and he told you he was bird watching, would you have given him a really?
Yeah, I'd be like, what are you watching? And to be fair, he could make up a bird that doesn't fucking exist, and I wouldn't know, but I still might ask.
Yeah. And tell you about an exotic bird that does exist, but you don't know shit about birds. You go, fuck you, you liar. You know.
Oh, yeah, no, he could totally call me out on it, but I would but I would initially have that go, are ya?
Am I really? Google the bird.
Now, racist guy.
A bird that is native to Australia, but how the fuck do you know?
Racist guy, not me saying it, but to go for the laugh, go, racist guy, bird watching, is it a fried chicken? Not going to do that, though.
Oh, God. Don't you dare.
That's the great part about video. Your jaw actually hung there, wide open, as you were stunned. No, but I mean, you could have fun with that story. Yes, that woman was a bitch. I'm not.
I think we just did.
I have fun with every story. I can have fun with every story. That's what makes the show special.
We're awful people.
Well, at least I am. I do think part of this was influenced though by what just happened with George Floyd in that same town. I think that was part of this.
Oh, sure.
I think
people have been putting up with this bullshit for over 400 years in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible treatment onward to slightly less terrible in some instances, but this still nonsense that goes on for minorities, particularly African Americans, that doesn't go on for white people.
Yeah. All right. So we agree on that one.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
Now, Joe, this was the story you blogged about. Do you want to tell people what happened, or do you want me to tell people?
I can explain it. Basically, there was a flight attendant on American Airlines. She was wearing a face shield along with her mask because she felt that she would be better protected. What happened was American Airlines told her that she can't wear the face shield because it doesn't provide the proper image on the flight. She was going against it, and American Airlines also was saying, well, it's in case of an emergency, we feel that shield would hinder you doing your job. So my whole thing in my blog is basically it's the policy of American Airlines to dictate that. The CDC also feels it's not necessary. The FAA could care less. My whole thing is...
That's not true. That's not true. The FAA didn't say they could care less.
Well, you know what, though? As we go in, put that out there. As we go on with the story and read it, folks can make the decision.
I just like it. It goes to the FFA. Ah, fuck it. I want to hear about this black bird watching guy. We'll get back to the face shield later on.
it does go in the air.
And you should wear a face shield because birds will shit on you. I know. Happened to me in the Bahamas.
But my whole synopsis is this. Is American Airlines saying that she cannot wear the shield because it prevents a bad image on the flight? Or are they saying it as they feel that in the situation it could hinder her handling the situation properly? Read the story, please.
After all that, I got to fucking read the story?
Yes.
I thought you were explaining it. I thought that's why I wouldn't have to read it.
I explain the synopsis of the story. Please be our fearless leader and read the story so we understand what's going on.
You motherfucker. All right.
Sorry. Words you have to...
I thought I was actually saving myself, my voice a little bit. Joe's like, nay, I will pontificate, and then you shall proceed.
Well, you want to know something? Because I did the blog, and I did the breakdown on it. It's like when you watch a story and they give you the excerpts of the episode and then they do that, you know, then they tell the story. I gave the excerpts a couple of things to think about while the story is read and decisions to be made at the conclusion of the story. Thank you, sir.
I like how you portray that like you're some type of fucking hero for the audience.
What Davin was looking forward to is if the lead singer needs to rest his voice for a moment, and then the drummer sings the one song that he sang on a B side.
Yes, Pip! Yes, what a lovely analogy.
We're doing the hits tonight. We don't need a piss break.
Christ. Here's something off my new album. Anyway.
Green on, Macbeth.
An American Airlines flight attendant said she was forbidden from wearing a face shield because it didn't fit with the company's image standards and would make passengers uncomfortable, according to a report. The woman recently returned to the skies after being grounded for a month due to coronavirus-related cancellations, but found out that someone who tested positive for the illness was on board one of her flights, she told the Boston Globe. The Boston-based flight attendant, who identified herself by her first name, Marie, bought an $8 face shield to protect herself and others for her May 2nd flight to Dallas, according to the newspaper. Gonna kick some ass, she wrote on Instagram, where she posted a selfie wearing the plastic shield over an N95 respirator mask. Oh, are you? After a few flights wearing the PPE, Marie said her bosses told her the safety gear didn't fit the carrier's image standard. We're not about safety here. We don't even like having fucking seatbelts on this bitch.
Right. And that's D1. That's their argument right there. Continue with the story, please, sir.
And it spooked the passengers.
You babies.
We're scared. She's got a shield. What would they do if Captain America was on that fucking flight? That's a big fucking shield. Can you ask Captain America
face directly? When?
Can you ask Captain America to leave? His shield is scaring me.
Yeah, well, they also didn't mention the semi-machine gun on the beverage part, but that's another.
Now that would spook me. I'd be a little spooked. Adding that she was told she could take a leave if she felt unsafe. Marie said that even though she felt intimidated, she continued wearing the shield until the airline last week issued a message that shields could pose a safety hazard, making it more difficult for crew members to respond to an emergency. The airline officially banned such shields, but Marie said the risk is actually greater without them. I think it's a safety hazard for us not to protect our entire face for every second we're on a plane, especially if we're ugly, like United's flight attendants. Carriers like mine are going to create... Did I say that? No. That's not in the story.
Coming home from previous tours, have you?
Well, I'm just saying. They don't always have the best-looking ones. Anyway. Right. They have a well-weathered crew. Anyway, carriers like mine are going to create another devastating second wave of this deadly virus because we are not being given appropriate PPE to wear. I can see this virus spreading like wildfire throughout the cabin, in which case we should really rake because that will help with the wildfires. American Airlines and other major U.S. carriers say they are limiting capacity among the pandemic, but about 1 out of 12 flights are more than 70% full, according to the industry group Airlines for America, the paper recorded. Luis Mendez Paiva, a systems engineer who flies often to work and wears a face shield on doctor's recommendations, flew with Marie from Boston to Charlotte last week. They should be encouraged to wear as much safety PPE as possible, Paiva told the Globe about American Airlines crew. American and other airlines have imposed a variety of safety measures, including requiring masks for flight attendants and passengers, but face shields which protect the eyes are not part of the plan. The FAA has not approved them for regular use on board on the aircraft, and the CDC does not recommend them, the airline said. No other U.S. carriers permit flight attendants to wear face shields during regular flight operations. In a statement, the FAA said it does not need to pre-approve the use of personal protective equipment by flight attendants if the equipment does not impede the ability to perform required safety tests.
Stop right there for a second. And that's where I said, well, the FAA is like, well, they don't give a shit. It's and right there, it seems that they can care less. Yeah, whatever. Let them do what they want.
Because it doesn't impede any fucking safety efforts. It's not like that shield is fucking painted black and she can't see. It's a clear shield. We have people performing fucking heart surgery with a goddamn shield. I think she can serve me Diet Coke with a shield. I think we'll be okay.
Is it a flotation device?
Like I said, it's just, you know, the FAA's indifference to it, you know?
Marie's Union, the...
I'm not saying it's wrong. It just brings up my statement. The FAA is like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
We got other shit to worry about.
Yeah, you know, that was my point.
Marie's Union, the Association of Professional Flight Attendants, told the Globe that its safety department is working with the company now on the issue. A copy of an email obtained by the paper from APFA's safety chairman, Thomas Hudick, said the union was in discussion with American about giving attendants safety glasses. Marie's derogatory postings predetermined the outcome of this case, the email added, referring to her statements in social media. It probably would not have come an issue if she had just worn it in flight and didn't call attention to herself by posting on social media, he wrote the Boston Globe. Marie said she believes the company is worried about scaring passengers away. But how about those fucking prices? That scares me away. But she's worried more about people getting sick and dying. It makes customers feel uncomfortable when I'm wearing it. That was the bottom line of the whole thing, she told the paper. To be told that during a pandemic is unreal. But not surprising. Have you met us? On Thursday, she wore her shield in protest. Protest shield? Jesus Christ. When she flew for the first time since the items were... Is that where we are? Is that where we are? We've moved past hashtags, and we are now wearing safety equipment in fucking protest. What a fucking bunch of no-sacrificing pussies we are. When a supervisor... And I'm not saying I'm above that, by the way. I'm just saying, really. That's how soft we are. When a supervisor warned her about violating company rules, Marie appealed to the captain, who said shields aren't prohibited by the FAA, so she kept wearing it. You know, I'm sure blowing the captain in the cockpit's against fucking rules, too, but that goes on.
That's why it's called the cockpit.
Thank you, Joe. If you look over to the right, you'll see me coming. Anyway, the number one priority is... The number one priority is safety. Safety. That's what our job is for. I want to stop a second big wave of this virus from taking innocent lives if I can. American Airlines said in a statement to the Post, the CDC does not recommend using a face shield along with a face covering. We'll continue to study this issue. But our current standard is for flight crews to wear face coverings and to follow other important procedures such as frequent hand washing as the most effective ways to stay safe. All right.
Now, my thing was at the beginning of this, before, you know, as a preamble to the story, is, you know, American Airlines got to pick and choose their battle. Your main thing is safety, but you also said that it was a bad optic. What's it going to be? You know, I think if they're wearing shields, I don't care. I mean, the main thing I'm caring about is you're fucking me for $15 for that snack box. You know, must wear a mask. Really, a bag of pretzels, some fucking Oreo cookies, and a Twizzler, $15.
Joe,
I know, really.
Joe, where did that snack box touch you? I feel like it really altered your growth.
You were in the same damn flight when them damn things.
Yeah, but I brought my own snacks. I'm not fucking going to get raped by them. Listen, I can't imagine. Hey, I know there's a pandemic going on. Why is that person wearing protective equipment? Oh yeah, because there's a pandemic going on. Stupid. It's not like she's all of a sudden wearing a fucking. It's not like she's dragging a fire hose up and down the aisle. And what the fuck's going on? Are we on fire?
No way.
Yeah, I mean, listen. If she's dragging a fire hose and going, "Do you smell smoke? I think I smell smoke." And there's no smoke. That's gonna fucking scare me. But her weird
smoke from the other engine. It might go, you know, that could burn at any minute. Burn at any minute.
That's why I got my shield on, so my face doesn't melt. I mean, listen, if you're going to get spooked by that in this environment, really, jump out the plane right now. Don't take a parachute.
Yeah.
Really, it's like you are incredibly lame if that's what bothers you, somebody protecting themselves.
Maybe I'll ask. I might ask, how come the other flight attendants aren't wearing one? Because I might be curious.
Yeah.
That could be, too. And she could answer, well, I feel, you know, I feel a little bit more safer because sometimes people talk and I feel like wearing the shield. Being the devil's advocate for American Airlines, they just probably feel, like you said, it doesn't look like it's a good optic if they're wearing the shield. But on the other thing, so you're turning around and saying it's a safety issue. So what is it going to be? Don't sprain your ankle backpedaling here, you know?
Listen, I don't think this is a safety issue. I think this isn't.
No.
I think they don't want to spring for fucking getting face shields for everybody. That's what I think this is about.
I don't see in an emergency situation, you know, how it could be a safety issue. Oh, we just hit turbulence and dropped 3,000 feet. Oh, you know what? With that face shield, you could have killed people. Meanwhile, the overhead compartment door is slamming against your skull. Imagine that. You get slammed by the overhead compartment door as you plummet 3,000 feet and go, Christ, thank God that wasn't a safety mask. I could be fucked here. You know? So, yeah, it's a bunch of horse shit.
I'm going to demonstrate for those watching how difficult the action of taking off the safety shield would be. For those only watching, pretend I'm wearing a safety shield. And off. It's literally like lifting off your baseball cap the hard way if you didn't do it by the brim. It's literally
It's not like the bitch is in a suit of armor, you know?
No, it's not a fucking straitjacket. Hey, can I get a hand with this shit? I can literally whip it right off.
That would be great if they were in a suit of armor and he acted like knights and he did the pre-flight instructions. Thou will notice that the air mask will drop it if we lower. Don't be a knave. Put it on immediately. That'd be kind of cool. Medieval Airlines.
Medieval Airlines.
Yeah, and you just see, like, I don't want to sit in this seat and there's a hatchet king. I think this is fine.
Excuse me, miss. How much are the dragon bites? I want to get some dragon bites.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I think that there's a weight restriction on the chain mail.
Oh, I'd still be pissed off. $15 for mead? Really? Give me the snack box.
$15 for mead. Well, you should have flown first class.
Yeah.
I do.
Through, like, King's throne.
I do think her social media postings did not help.
Probably calling attention to herself was not the best idea, but it's really stupid the ridiculous reasons they're coming up with to have a problem with it with her.
Yeah, I mean, real. Pick your battles.
Yeah, I said that well.
Pick your battles. All right, let's. So we all agree. We all agree. This was stupid.
Yeah,
of course.
Let her wear her face shield. I wear shades, sunglasses a lot. Now, the hard thing is it fogs up with the mask, but they do say that it can get spread into your eyes. So why wouldn't you have that protection? And don't tell me it's going to make your job more difficult. Like when I said, when you have people performing surgery wearing this shit. I mean, relax.
Well, I actually just wear these for protection. I have perfect sight.
Well, yeah, you never know where jizz is going to come at you. I understand.
Yeah, well, apparently the guy at American Airlines didn't have a copy of the Big Book of Bullshit Excuses on hand. That one didn't work.
So I think we've established any one of us could be president, and any one of us could run American Airlines.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll talk a little bit about rock during COVID-19.
Rock. Rock and roll.
Concert goers shouldn't crowd surf. Crowd surf, stupid. Not crowd surf. Ugh. Concert goers shouldn't crowd surf or form mosh pits when venues reopen as one of many recommended coronavirus precautions, according to a report. The recommended restrictions on rowdy concert going behavior came in a lengthy report released by the Event Safety Alliance and Ticketmaster on Monday. Hey, when the fuck are we going to find out about that concert? Anyway, on Monday, venue owners could.
Can we just stop for? Well, we'll go into it, but the thing about it, I was actually on Don Jameson's show this afternoon. I Skyped in, and basically on that show, Motley Crue and Def Leppard want to do the show. Joan Jett, I think, is backing out.
Like the tour will be lost without Joan Jett.
No, nobody cares. I can live without her.
Actually, honestly, I was looking forward to seeing Joan Jett the most because I've seen the others. I've seen Poison. I've seen Motley Crue, and I've seen Def Leppard. But
yeah, well, Def Leppard comes to town and takes my money every year.
Motley Crue I never saw. Poison I could live without. Joan said I would like to see.
So they still haven't made a decision?
It's on a good show.
They still think because Def Leppard and Motley Crue. Yeah, they really haven't said that they still want to do the gig. As we progress with this story, I'll have a couple more comments. Well, that's my job. I'm a co-host, but nonetheless.
Thank you for your resume, stupid. Anyway. Mid-fucking show, he's got to remind me why he's here. Anyway. Two ESA...
I say thing too during the comments section.
Two ESA execs, Stephen Adelman and Jacob Warwick, put together the 29-page guidelines after taking the past month to meet with 400 industry players to help clarify how they could begin to reopen safely, as the states have sometimes contradictory ways of handling pandemic, Billboard reported. Kansas bars are set to open as of May 18th, but only at half capacity, and live concerts may start up again in Branson, Missouri by Friday. An Arkansas venue is working to put on social distancing compliant concert this week, and Live Nation hopes to put on reduced capacity and drive-in shows, Brooklyn Vegan reported. That's a good news source. Everybody wants to keep their stuff clean and in good shape, but my goodness, to avoid transmitting COVID-19 and killing people, that's a lot to lay on somebody who's a theater manager who's used to wearing all black and Dickie shorts 12 months out of the year, Adelman told Billboard. A few obvious changes will be necessary when general admission events do reopen. Patrons cannot all stand at the front of the stage like they are accustomed. Moshing and crowd surfing are violations of social distancing per se. It must be absolutely prohibited during the pandemic. Even hallways and smoking areas where patrons congregate will have to be monitored to enforce health policies. Some other guidelines include staggering entry times, limiting the flow of people into bathrooms, wearing masks, and hourly hand washing, sanitizing hotspot fixtures, screening customers for fever, placing plastic shields at ticketing windows, offering paid sick leave to workers, and educating customers on healthy behavior. Before we get into this, I just realized I might not be able to buy my ball sack t-shirts anymore.
No, they'll still sell them.
I know, but I might not buy it. I mean, before I didn't mind having a little Dominican sweat on my fucking Guns N' Roses t-shirt, but now maybe I don't want that.
Yeah, well, you'll have to wash it with hot water when you get home.
I still got to touch it, though. It's not like they give you tongs.
Bring some sanitizer with you. If you put it, you know, you certainly can wash your hands and you go in there. It's like when I get gas, because they say you should wear gloves. When you get gas, I don't wear gloves. However, I wash my hands completely and thoroughly with hand sanitizer. So it's almost the same thing like that. Another point on that is how basically a lot of these venues are going to be at half capacity. How many of these shows are going to go off? Like I was saying when I was on Don's show this afternoon, album sales. Bands are done. They're no longer. Bands make their money with touring and merch sales. If you have half capacity to these shows, you're not making any money.
Right.
If you have half people at shows, your merch table, you're not moving material. That, more than record sales now, is how you make your nut. So I don't think a lot of bands are going to tour. A lot of bands are waiting to tour to 2021. Rammstein, I was supposed to see Rammstein in September, gigs off. We were going to plan to see Sammy Hagar on the Circle. If we were going to do the thing down in Florida, we might have gone in Carolina. If not, I would have went up here. That gig is off. Why I brought up Motley Crue and Def Leppard is it worth them to go out right now when these venues are probably going to be at half capacity? I don't think it makes sense. I don't know why they're dragging their feet making the decision. Maybe they want to see, you know, if there's a relapse of COVID or whatever. But, you know, it's getting almost close to showtime here, and you've got the logistics of a tour, jets, a plane, you know, the bus, you know, the trucks to rig everything. So, yeah, I'm wondering when they're finally going to make a move on this.
That's our concert is at the end of August at Citi Field. I just can't imagine being packed. I mean, and then we got to ask ourselves if the show is on, do we want to go? Is it worth it?
I would go and wear a mask and gloves, but I don't know.
But think about that. Do you really want? Because it's going to be a long concert, say like 6 hours. Do you really want to wear a mask in August outside for 6 hours?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
I'll take it off for a couple of minutes, you know. But we'll see. Maybe that's what they're thinking. Well, however, that Rammstein concert was the second week of September. And those guys said, you know, sorry, canceling the tour, gigs off. So, you know, Def Leppard and Motley Crue are going to have to look at the way ticket sales is, especially Motley Crue. I mean, Motley Crue, this is a big reunion thing for them, a chance to make a lot of money. I think they're doing the tour, and you know, because the Dirt, the movie went so well, and they got a new fan base, so they're probably going to try to get every fan they can. Def Leppard tours every year. They could care less, man. They'll do a residency or whatever. It's no big deal to them. You know, so it's interesting to see how these guys are going to decide what to do.
It does not the general admission does not sound appealing if you can't stand by the stage. I mean, because that's a general admission. You're kind of packed in there. I mean, it's uncomfortable, yeah. But that's kind of the experience. I mean, what are you going to have to stand 6 feet apart? How many people can you fit in these small clubs?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And two, plus with the clubs. Bands that are playing the clubs. I mean, I'm not a national act, but both Sexy Susan and Fragile Sky, we open up for national acts. And with bands or that were big at one time and are still doing the rooms, they're having a problem drawing. They're looking at us to draw, you know? So with that in mind, if we're trying to draw and we're trying to draw for them, you're going out on tour doing small clubs. That's dog eat dog out there. So what's the impetus for them to go out with everything going on, with all the restrictions at the clubs? It's, like I said, just getting people in the door of a rock club, at least in our area, is tough. You really have to go – to get anybody in a rock club, you really have to go to Maryland, like Maryland and then down the rest of the country. Up in these parts, it's tough. But now with the COVID thing, it's going to be tougher every day. You know, the consensus is wait till 2021 to go back out.
But, I mean, how do you even really enforce, like, masks and stuff in a club? I mean, are you going to have people going around mixing in and out of the people standing watching the show? Come on, man, put on your mask. You can't even hear things. I mean, is it going to be that?
You could have the bouncers do it, but, you know.
You got to hire a lot more people.
Right. I mean, they can only do so much. You can't, you know, a bouncer looks to make sure if everybody's cool and, you know, if there's any trouble going on. But, you know, for the most part, you know. They could have tried to say to put a mask on, but yeah, you're going to need a lot of bouncers, and maybe that's going to be a problem. So just with these restrictions right now, how many clubs are going to have shows? And comedy clubs, too. I mean, it affects me as a rock musician. Also, it affects me as a comedian.
Isn't Long Island, isn't Long Island comedy clubs opening up in July?
Could be. Governors just released a statement that they're going to be having a whole protocol in the clubs. Certain, a lot of things are going to be sectioned off, partitions, this and the other thing. So it's interesting how that's going to go. And it's also interesting if they have to open half capacity, if they want to bring in big names, you know, they have to pay the big names and they're going to have to draw to fill the club. How is that going to work?
But I heard that the Long Island clubs are going to have like comics behind plexiglass.
What?
Maybe.
Like, they're going to have plexiglass around the stage.
Maybe, you know, but that's half the thing now. Do you have to space, are they going to space the tables? If they space the tables, that's going to contribute to the bottom line. It's a double-edged sword where, you know, are they going to just sit there and stay close, or are they going to try to sort out, you know, salvage anything they can?
If I'm an audience member, and my choice is, I can go to a club where everybody has masks and there's plexiglass and I have to wear my mask in there, or I could stay at home and watch some virtual show or watch a comedy special. I'm going to stay home, man. That's not really a great experience.
I think people are so tired of being cooped up that maybe just to go out for the night.
Yes, once. But you're not going to have – listen, clubs need that steady flow. Everybody will go, I can't wait to get out. And then go, I mean, it's going to be like a zoo. And I don't mean like zoo, everybody's packed in. I mean, like, no, it's going to be like a zoo. The comics are behind plexiglass. You can't breathe. If it's that sterile, it's not comedy. It's not rock and roll either. Is it really rock and roll if you have to worry about washing your hands? We're talking about shit where people ate a rabid bat. I mean, really.
You want to know something? The way things are right now, and look, you guys know me. I'm the least tolerant person of rules and stuff like that. I go to the supermarket. I put my mask on. I do that. I wait in the line. I do, because we've kind of been conditioned to that in the past 2.5 months. So maybe if you go to a club and the comic is funny and the acts are good and there's plexiglass, And you know this isn't going to be forever, but you're out of the house. You are laughing. You are having a drink. You're having a good time. Would I want to put up with it? Well, not forever, but for now, I'm out of the house. If the show is good and people go, well, how was the show? You got us in. We had a good time. The meal was good. You know, people might come back.
I think.
Start to get back to normal.
I think I might do that if I'm seeing, like a celebrity. Because I really want to see that celebrity and they're coming to town. But then that goes to like how much is the club can the club afford to pay them? But if
and like I was saying before, at half capacity, and you know what major acts get to come into the club, and you're going to try to.
They're not doing door deals. Now, a lot of the times they do door deals. They're not doing door deals at 25% or 50% capacity.
Oh no!
So then it's going to be the local guy. It's going to fall to the local comics who are very funny. But a lot of times the local guys don't motivate people to get off their couch. I don't know.
So it's, you know, it depends when they'll loosen the restrictions on here. I mean, Dave Landau was down in Florida. That's what kind of gave us hope for our tour, but he was down at that one club, and he was on Anthony Cumia's show today, you know, on Monday. And he was saying the crowds were great and stuff like that, but they don't have the restrictions that we have up here because it's not as prevalent down there.
That was laughing, right?
I think so.
So they were like when last I spoke to the owner, they were operating at 25% capacity. It might have changed.
Right.
I don't even understand how you can function at 25% capacity.
I don't understand how you can make a profit with those kind of margins they start with.
Yeah.
I think maybe they work a deal out with the act. I think that they have the staff like half staff, and I think they don't order as much food. You know, or keep with, and try to work within that time.
Still got your rent. You still got your rent. You still got your electricity and your air conditioning.
So, and that's got to be paid. So they figured, all right, look, if we try to cut it to the bare minimum, we have a fighting chance of starting to pay, you know, to at least pay the rent and keep the doors open.
I got to tell you, I don't know if I'm going to go out if they start offering me like COVID pay. Like if I'm used to getting like X amount and they try to cut it by something like half. Go, oh well, it's COVID-19. I don't fucking give a shit. I'll stay home.
Yeah.
That's your decision to make. You know, I mean, you have a luxury of another income coming in your house.
Yeah, but comics aren't going to make money if you're used to getting 200. We'll use that as an easy number. And now they're offering you 100. I mean, you're not paying your bills with that either. You might as well stay on unemployment.
You want to say, yeah, maybe. But if you know, if you work in the city, if you're a city comic, and you're getting a little less a spot, but you're still getting your four or five spots in a night.
That's different.
You can get by.
That's
going on the road. No, I'm not going. I'm not driving. Not anymore. But I drive to Pennsylvania for $100. And in ye olden days. We both raced each other to the car, but those were the ye olden days. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. Like you'll get some local acts, people looking to work. I don't know. Listen, man, like everything, they got to come up with a treatment or a cure. I mean, I am itching to work, and I may have a show in a couple of weeks in Jersey. I'm told it's still on. I don't think it will be, but you know, and I'll.
I haven't even looked at my book. That book was, you know, you saw what happened when I lost that. I was freaking out. Because I figure without that book, I just wait for people to call me and go, where the fuck are you? You know, that book was my Bible. I live by. I haven't opened that damn thing in a month.
No, why would you?
Why would I? I mean, and it's just so obvious. Like, for example, I was supposed to be a Mohegan son down in Pennsylvania, you know, and I never, you know, I looked and it's like the place was locked. I never bothered to call Coastal and ask, oh, is the gig still on? Of course the gig's not on, stupid. Nothing's on.
I use it. I use my book for the laugh at home comedy shows. That's what I'm using my book for. But like, I'm not even trying to hustle work. And then you see like some clubs are opening, like the club that we got canceled on, they're opening, but they're open, but they cut a day. And they were gonna cut pay, so it doesn't, like, he's like, I'm just gonna cancel him. I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do? It really already wasn't worth it for me to go down there to begin with. It was supposed to be part of a 3-week tour, and that was the last week that was standing.
Right, and we and you lost the one thing. I was supposed to do a week, and you know, the full week, and then that got cut, and then we made the decision, all right, we'll go, we'll fly, maybe we'll drive, we'll lose our shirt, but at least we have a gig, and then that fell through. It is, you know, and the whole thing is, you can't even get upset. This business sucks. Screw it. it is what it is.
No, it is. It's
you know, you get a booker that calls you or cancels something, you feel bad because we're all losing on this. You feel bad for them. A club I work in Jersey, I feel bad for Dino because, you know, I mean, he just, you know, he tells me the gig's over. I get a day gig, but I feel bad for him because, you know, what does he do, you know? And bookers, what are they, you know? So it's just an awful thing. So just to work into the confines of the rules they're putting, just get the club up and running and see what happens.
See, but here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. You can go to a baseball game and you can keep your mouth shut. Comedy, you're laughing, you're spitting, you're snorting. I mean, if you see a good comic, there's a lot of fluids going off, let alone peeing your pants. But there's a lot of things flying out of your mouth, things that we never really thought of before. I know when I'm up there, and I spoke to Kevin Israel about this. He's the same way, I guess. I'll be up there, and sometimes if I'm really into it, I'll see the spit leave my mouth.
Oh, yeah, same with me. Yeah.
I mean, it's very unsanitary. So with this COVID-19...
I also see the spit coming my way. But,
but that's something to think about. I mean, the only thing going good for comedy clubs is there's a lot of alcohol available. That's the only thing going for comedy clubs. But... yeah, man. I don't know. I mean, God bless them. They're trying to open up. And if I date sticks, I'll work it and everything. And I'll probably go with my own microphone. And I won't stand on the edge of the stage like I normally do. And I may or may not wear a mask. But I don't know, man. I
think the next thing I have in the book, maybe for July or something like that. We'll see if that goes. I mean, the next. Yeah, and I know I'm supposed to be with Adam Ferrara in October at Mohegan up at the Comedy Club up in Connecticut. We'll see if that goes. But, you know, like I said, I was supposed to be with him at the Hard Rock at the end of this month. And you feel bad. It's like, yeah, the gig gets canceled. What are you going to say? The casino isn't open. He needs to make his money. He's got a place in California. He's got a place in New York, you know. You know, so what am I, you know, it stinks for me. It stinks for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take our last break. We'll come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. On the break, we got Denki Sagali with Automatic Lover and Mr. Music versus Dr. Beat with Taking Over. I Won It All. Short break.
I'm your automatic lover.